Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up? Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 31. Something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and it's sleep. When you don't sleep well, you don't give the best version of you to your friends and your family. And that's, you know, our guest yesterday, who was also our guest today, Joe Sanok, he even said that he just noticed that his income, it seems like it goes up when he gets more sleep. So question, are you sleeping enough? I know it's something that I personally have to constantly work on. And it's I myself too find when I'm well rested, my day just goes much more smoothly and I have much better interactions with my friends and my family. So today I have on again Joe Sanok. And if you missed yesterday's episode, definitely go back and listen to that first. Joe just shares some incredible stories of some difficult times that he went through in 2012. Joe is a counselor in Traverse City, Michigan. He runs a counseling website for counselors called Practice of the Practice. You can reach Joe at joe@practiceofthepractice.com. Today we talk about the online business. We talk about, you know, what it's been able to do for him in his own life. And also we talk about how to level up in a competitive niche. That, you know, I think everybody's in some kind of competitive niche today. So this is definitely a great episode. And Joe has a little surprise as well. So let's dive right in. Joe, welcome back, man.
Oh, Dr. Tom, this is awesome to be back. Thanks.
And, you know, guys, we have a little gift for you, but you're going to have to wait till the end. Joe was gracious enough to offer something to you guys, you know, for listening and hearing us out on the Positivity Effect today, but we'll talk about that at the end. But Joe, let's talk a little bit about Practice of the Practice. You know, take us through, you know, once you started, like you said, it was kind of that mental space for you when you were going through all these difficult things. It was like your happy place kind of to jump to, and you started, it was your space to create. You know, what was that like when you were there? And then kind of take us through a little bit of the timeline of as you started to create it and how you started to connect the dots and, you know, connect it to your practice.
Yeah. So really it was probably in the last year that I really took some time to formulate like what happened with Practice of the Practice that worked. And there was really three phases, I think, that I really went through. The first was really growing a specialty. Like I had to figure out like what am I saying through Practice of the Practice? And really that's teaching counselors how to grow a new private practice, teaching established counselors how to grow a private practice, and teaching anyone how to become a consultant. And so those are kind of like my three main specialties, or buckets we might call them. But it really took me a while to figure that specialty out. The second phase I moved into was growing an audience. And so initially that was the blog. Then I moved into kind of an irregular podcast that became more regular. Then it was reaching out to influencers to be on that podcast, and then a second podcast. And then now it's kind of refining back, like, what's my audience really want, and kind of pulling back in some areas and not being quite as broad. Then kind of the third phase that was happening throughout, but really I think I focused in on, was growing an income. And so really going from, and I do monthly income reports on there. The first month I reported, I think it was like at $1,000 a month I was making, and then it's gone up quite a bit from there.
That's awesome. And I was, you know, browsing the page and I saw what you went up to, man. And that's that's awesome, man. Really, congratulations. Like, that's just like we were talking about yesterday. You took that imperfect action and you just kept following through and you're killing it now. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of it is something that, I mean, any of your listeners can do, and that in leveling up and doing consulting, and that became a huge part of my income. Where, you know, some months this year and last year have been 20 or 30 grand months that are based, you know, primarily on growing consulting and e-products.
And this space, like, would you say that this outlet, you know, having a podcast, having a blog, using the digital space was really what helped you to stand out in your niche, in the counseling niche?
Absolutely. So when I first started looking at if I wanted to do a podcast, I had been reading a few different books that were talking about really figuring out where is there a space that there's no competition, so that you can right away be number one. And so I started looking at podcasts, and the American Counseling Association had a podcast, but they hadn't posted in 6 months. And there was a couple other podcasts that were helping counselors in private practice, but they were really irregular. And so right away, when I consistently started doing a podcast that was aimed at counselors in private practice, I could say I'm the number one podcast for counselors in private practice. Now, a bunch of people have jumped in since then, but now I'm still number one, and I'm, you know, getting a lot more listens than all of those other ones.
And that's awesome. You know, even if if there was 100 competitors tomorrow and you stripped away the name Practice of the Practice, like, people are still coming to listen to Joe Sanek. Like, they, you know, they're coming to hear your voice. And, you know, even if you have an amazing guest on, they're still like, I'm here to listen to Joe. I'm, you know, he's hanging out in my car right now on the way to work.
Exactly. And I mean, it's really like that Oprah effect, that, you know, Oprah interviews all these people, but it's really the defining factor was that Oprah was a really good interviewer. And, you know, people tune into your show because they want to hear Dr. Tom interview people. And, you know, the questions you're going to ask would be completely different than what I would ask. Even if we were both doing private practice kind of growth type things or business growth, the way you're going to do it is going to be completely different from myself. And that's where I think people have to realize that you are the biggest differentiator than anything else out there. If you're authentic to who you are and let yourself really come through your podcast, blog, whatever it is that you're working to create.
I think I'm going to rename the Positivity Effect to the Oprah Effect. that's going to be the new show name.
You might want to get a lawyer right before you change the name.
Maybe I'll get Oprah on the show, and
there you go.
We'll team up.
I actually, on my podcast, I just interviewed two different people. One went on tour with Oprah,
and the other one
had a series on Oprah's network. And so I'm getting closer to interviewing Oprah.
How many steps removed now?
I'm one step away, because
that's awesome.
Rob Bell went on tour with Deepak, Elizabeth Gilbert, Oprah, and a couple other people, and they're doing stadiums. And so I just interviewed him, and then this other guy, Jonas Elrod, he had this Netflix movie, and he was Super Soul Sunday's first guest with Oprah. So I'm so close to Oprah. Someday.
That's awesome. So would you say, like, you know, we're talking about podcasting right now, and just that digital space, like, someone wants to level up, you know, in a competitive specialty, like, is that some, you know, they should be jumping into the digital space?
Yeah, I mean, so when you look at blogs, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think there's 100 times more blogs than there are podcasts, or I don't remember the exact number. But podcasting is still a very new market. And what we're seeing with all the brand new cars that are coming out is they all are going to have access to podcasts, iTunes. I mean, grandma's going to be listening to podcasts within the next couple of years. And so right now it's still primarily people that, you know, really intentionally seek out podcasting. But within a couple of years, podcasting is going to be exactly the same as XM radio or regular radio, where people are just going to say, "What podcast do you listen to, grandma?" "Oh, I'm really into the Depression era podcast, Sonny."
the World War II Chronicles.
Yes, exactly. I mean, so I think there's a huge market where right now it's primarily still early adopters, and it's still, you know, people like you and I that are doing this, but there's so much room for pretty much any specialty for people to jump into podcasting.
When somebody's thinking of, you know, they're in their head, I'm in a competitive niche, or I'm in a competitive specialty, or, you know, and they're trying to find ways to level up. You know, they're trying to find ways to get better, but they're not giving themselves maybe enough credit of what they do already, or they say, you know, how can I go and do this, or how can I go and help somebody when I'm struggling with something myself? You know, what would you say to that person?
I would start with, so you're struggling. Like, why do you have to be perfect or awesome or an expert before you start blogging or podcasting? Some of the most interesting podcasts are people that are exploring things that are new. Like, you look at the new Netflix series, Chelsea Does. You know, Chelsea, I forgot her last name, but she's that comedian that she goes and just explores different topics. She explores marriage, she explores IT, and she's like, I'm terrible with my iPhone. Like, some of the great shows right now and great podcasts are people just exploring things. And so that's what Practice of the Practice started out for me as, is I'm learning these things about marketing and business. I'm going to try some things out. I'm going to tell you what works for me, and maybe they'll work for you, maybe they won't. And so if you take that, you know, I'm curious, I want to understand things, I want to tell you what works, there's really like no failure there, because if it fails, you just say, let me report back to you, this is terrible, don't do this. And let me report back to you, this is awesome, you should do this. It really takes away that like pass fail mentality, and it moves it more to a progress, kind of growing as a person mentality.
What is one of the biggest factors that stops somebody from taking that first step, or stops them, you know, from, you know, when people, like, say you have like 20 people, they're all starting the same project, and like 18 of them drop off, and only two have what it takes to continually push forward and continually, you know, they're not going to stop until they have the success in what they're looking to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think I see people really, what they do is they compare themselves to people that have taken years to build things. So they say, oh my gosh, like Dr. Tom's podcast is so amazing. Like, how could I ever compete with that? Well, you've been doing this for 6 months, a year, you know, you've had this podcast, like you're going to learn a thing or two. So I think they start with comparing themselves to other people rather than just saying, this is something I want to work on, so I'm going to go work on it. The other side is people say, well, because I see everyone else doing this, I should probably do all of that. I need to be on Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest. I need to have a blog. I need to have a video blog. I need to have a podcast. I need to have a video podcast. Maybe you hate some of those things. Like, don't do those. So like for me, I just get sucked into like video editing. And so for me, I've been ripping just a couple minutes of some of the audio from my podcasts and making just really short, like kind of promo videos that suck people in, hopefully, that I can use on social media. I'm putting less time into Twitter. I'm putting less time into Facebook, except for my membership communities, because it doesn't have that ROI. It doesn't have that return on investment for me. Whereas I just really like making videos. I like finding cool Creative Commons video that I can make into something that looks sweet. So focus in on the things that just make your heart explode with excitement. And then that's going to come through if you do that over and over again, where you're making 3 videos a month versus someone that's making 1 every 2 months. You're going to have so much more content in an area you love, rather than feeling like you have to do everything like everyone else has done.
And the failures, like, it's all just how you perceive the word failure. You can look at them as literally just, you know, little bits of information that, you know, show you, oh, okay, I have to take this information and just reapply it differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it goes back to that pass-fail mentality versus I'm going to progress. And so for someone that's listening, it might be that you start this little side gig just talking about travel and things that you really enjoy, and you just do it on the side for fun, and then you start to grow an audience, and then you capture some emails, and then you're like, well, maybe I'll just host a webinar about how I traveled to Europe for 6 weeks. And you know, you just over time start to listen to your community and then create content that reflects what your community is enjoying but also matches what you like.
You know, from a counselor's perspective, when you hear the word fear, you know, what are you telling that person when they're like, I have so much fear about X?
Well, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about fear in such a profound way that I'm going to actually kind of cite some of her work. She talks about how fear is necessary. You know, if a bear is chasing us, the people that got away from a bear and could recognize that fear were the people that survived. So starting with fear is okay. And then she talks about how there's times that you say to fear, okay, you're no longer in the driver's seat. I don't need to be protected. I need you to move in the back seat. There's a place for fear. There's a place that's going to help me. But right now, I'm good. There's no tiger. There's no bear. Fear, I don't need you. And so I think starting with people in counseling, that fear has a purpose. What purpose has that served in your life? Like, were you abused as a child? And if you could figure out if dad was drinking and that fearful kind of came up, and you then went to your bedroom and read, like, you didn't get abused, like, that's a learned skill. It's really important to say that had value for you at some point. Does that mean that anytime you see a friend drink now, you should like disengage and then go read a book? Probably not. You probably should work on that fear and say that had a purpose at a certain phase, but right now it doesn't serve that same purpose. So when we start to name it, say, where did this come from? And then how are we going to move forward to get what we want out of life? That's where I see fear having a purpose, but not always serving us in the way we want it to serve us right now.
Is that like one of the number one things that popped up when somebody comes for consulting, or is there something else that, like, what is like the number one thing that most people are struggling with?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Or like something, you know, if you were to have an average of like 100 of clients that you've seen, like, that, it's just something that keeps popping up over and over and over.
I think with consulting clients, the big thing is I have something inside me that is creative, exciting. I just want it to like explode into the world. And I have no idea how to set up a blog. I have no idea where I should spend my time. Usually the conversations I have with people in that pre-consulting call is, I have all these ideas. They all feel the same for me, but I know that they're not. What should I do? Can you help speed up my process? And so when we consult, you know, we'll look at, well, what's the low-hanging fruit? So like, where can you double your income right away? Like, where can you take things off your plate and outsource things for $15 an hour, whereas you're charging $100 an hour? Helping people really figure out, how do they leverage their time so that they can reduce the amount of hours they're working but increase their income, and sorting through what's going to be kind of the, what's going to give them the biggest bang for their buck in regards to their time that they put into whatever project they're working on.
So yeah, you're basically, they have all this like jumbled things and ideas, and it's just, you're funneling them and kind of directing them.
Yeah, I think the quick version would be focus. I mean, I say to people that I help them get ambitious results. We achieve ambitious results. Like, when I'm at my best, I'm helping people say, what's this amazingly huge thing that I want to get results from? I don't know how to do that. Can you help me, Joe? And then we work on that.
So now with this project, you know, how it's just been growing and growing, besides the financial benefits and how that's really helped you, what has been like a ripple effect in your own life from really taking this on?
Yeah. So in March of 2015, I quit my full-time job. And so I averaged 91 hours last month for the whole month that I worked. And so I do a monthly income report that also I track my time. So what that in a practical way means is I have more time with my family. I'm tucking my daughters in at night. I'm drinking coffee with my wife in the morning. I'm having time with friends. And you know, it's like the income hasn't been hit because of that. And so what I feel is that I have more of the life that I want than the life I don't want. There was times that I had to hustle. I had to put in that time. It was totally appropriate to work 50 or 60 hours a week, but it was a chapter. It wasn't a lifestyle.
That's what I think most of us need to hear, you know, is that you think I'm going to work 50, 60 hours for the rest of my life. No, it's like, it's a time and place for everything. Like, right, maybe there's a season where you need it, and in a season where you're not, but you know, you were able to push through, and now you have this freedom where you're able to spend more time with your family. And I'm sure like that just gives you, you know, such a comfort when you wake up in the morning or when you put your head down at night, that you're able to, you know, really point to what matters. And that could be different for everybody. You know, for me, I'm the same way. Like, I would want more time freedom with my family. For someone else, it may be like, I just want to go travel. You know, I want to spend more time traveling, or I want to go have more time to volunteer down at XYZ, you know, wherever they're looking to volunteer. I think it's for, you know, what is it that you want to spend more time with, and put that goal out there. You know, I'm sure, Joe, for you, right? Like, when you were building this, like, you were thinking about these goals. You were thinking about, I want more time with my family. I want more. And you just continually go back and review those goals. And that's what pushes you forward.
Yeah, and it comes and goes in regards to how well I do at it. You know, there's Fridays when my wife might say, hey, how long are you going to check email? And it's like, oh yeah, I take Fridays off for a reason. Like, so, I mean, it's not like it's perfect, but you know, you have these financial goals or these lifestyle goals that you work on, and there's things that you choose to do in your life that support those goals. So for example, early in our marriage, we said we're going to live way under what it takes for us to survive, or the amount that it takes for us to survive is going to be way below how much money we bring in. And so, you know, we paid for my wife's graduate school cash when I was making 30 grand a year. We had a guy from South Korea live with us during my wife's grad school so that we could help pay for the rent. And it was a fun cultural experience. We paid off all of our student loans and debt, you know, before we were 30. And so we made really tough choices to not go out to eat, not live like some of our friends were living. But now we don't have this debt hanging over us. We can make choices in our life that are way different than people that are like, man, I got to stay with this job because I got that monthly payment for this and that monthly payment for that. And the choices we make to give ourselves more freedom sometimes are as boring as paying off that one credit card. But when you don't have those different things that are hanging around your neck, it then gives you the freedom to take Fridays off, or it gives you the freedom to say, you know what, I'm going to try to charge double. And if I get zero clients, well, we don't need the money anyway. So I might as well like try to go for those big numbers.
Joe, would you trade that freedom for a job that, you know, was like 60 hours a week, but paid you, you know, $3 million a year?
Only 60 hours? I might do that for a year and then just, and then be like, peace out. But
seasons for everything.
Yeah. I mean, I would talk to my wife about that. I mean, we could get the lake house that we'd love to have, you know, with that $3 million. So, I mean, if it was 24 hours a day, then maybe not. But you know, I think the question behind your question is like, you've got all this freedom. Like, you know, how awesome is that? And so it would take a lot. Like, I mean, if you had said 300,000 or 500,000, like, shoot, if I want that, I can probably level up that this year if I want to and work less than 60 hours. But yeah, I'd consider 3 million. So anyone listening that has a $3 million job, you know, give me a call.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, Joe, as promised, is going to help you level up today. Joe, why don't you tell them what you got for everybody listening right now?
Yeah, so I put together this mini course, sort of like a TEDx style or TED Talk style course that usually I sell. So it's like a 17-minute video, and there's a 17-page download to take you through how to go from being paralyzed by perfection to getting things done. And so I go through kind of what I do in my schedule. I go through how I took action and had a really ugly website, and you know, show you actual screenshots of this terrible website that still helped me launch and give you some really practical strategies. So if you head on over to practiceofthepractice.com/perfection, you can get it there and download it for free.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Tom, this has been lots of fun hanging out.
Awesome. Absolutely. And I'm going to ask you one final question.
All right.
I ask everybody. Joe, if you were suddenly at the end of your life and you were reflecting on all that you've been through, all that you've created, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
I want to be known for being a good father and husband. I mean, hands down, my daughters and my wife they're more awesome than anything I've created or been a part of.
Hashtag boom. That was awesome. Simple. Thanks so much, Joe. That was awesome. And guys, I don't know if you had as much fun as I had, because this was awesome, Joe. I had so much time, so much fun enjoying this conversation with you. And I'm really inspired, man, by your message and just, you know, just the fact alone, even if you weren't in the digital space, just being a counselor, it's such an important job, and you know what you provide to people that are struggling with things, you know, it's so important. So thank you for your service and what you do with that.
Oh, thank you so much, and thanks for all your work here. This is an awesome podcast.
Thanks, Joe. And everybody's there, well aware. If they head over to positivityeffect.com, just put your name in the search bar, everything will pop right up, and I'll make sure I drop that link again for anybody looking to get onto that e-course. So thank you so much.
Cool. Thanks.
Take care, Joe.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.